Jim and Tommy in the morning. It's the pre-flight and it's morning. Wake up now, please, no more snoring. It's the morning pre-flight in the morning. They're the station, sleepy morning team.
Jim and Tommy in the morning.
The most duo you have ever seen.
There's a video stream now, so you can see that.
After a break and one's not back. They're on the toilet, probably.
I don't know if we can say that.
Jim and Tommy in the morning. It's a pre-flight and it's morning. Jim will hide behind his giant screen.
Jim and Tommy in the morning.
They'll crack some jokes. Tommy will hum the theme.
It's a pre-flight and it's morning.
Jim will come to break some news.
Unless this is different year.
Pat St. John is the weather dude.
Maybe.
Jim and Tommy in the morning. It's a pre-flight and it's morning. Where's Al Brian? And this is boring. It's the morning pre-flight in the morning.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Damn. Yeah. It is, in fact, morning.
It is morning. It is 6:04 in the morning, July 25th, the fourth day of AirVenture. Thursday, folks.
Yeah. Okay, so now I can say it. Hump day of AirVenture.
You did it.
So that was a day yesterday.
It was quite a day yesterday. Night Air Show, obviously one of the big highlights. Women Venture, another huge highlight.
Did I see for the Women Venture picture? You know, they usually take the picture around the largest thing that we have in the plaza, which right now is the B-52. Did you see? It looked like they had like different color shirts and like stripes.
No, I didn't.
It might have been just the lighting, but it looked like the first like six rows or so had a slightly different color shirt, and then it got darker as you went back.
That's cool.
I'll have to look at the picture again, but on my phone, while I was sitting there waiting for the night show to start.
It was a gradient of pilots.
Yes. But the size of the crowd for that was, I think, larger than I was used to seeing. They packed them in, you know, on Celebration Way, they're probably almost up to the Four Corners area. You know, there was a lot of people there. So for the annual picture. So did you in fact make the night show?
No, I hung around with my wife at the studio to run the board.
Gotcha.
I did see bits and pieces, and when the drones came out, we may have run outside to go see that for a little while, because it's, you know,
right,
arguably the newest thing to the show.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And if I may be critical, the last time I saw a drone show at AirVenture was lackluster, I'll call it.
Yeah.
It had its moments.
Yeah. And for what it was at that time,
yes,
it was
pretty
cool
high tech,
that they're doing that.
Yeah. That being said, they've come a long way.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Right?
And I know it's not the same company, but still, the technology in that industry is just night and day what it was. So.
Yes.
Very cool.
Definitely new and interesting. My prediction from yesterday was, in fact, wrong. That I thought we're going to...
What?
I know. I will admit when I'm wrong.
Whoa.
So right.
Everyone write this down.
Take note of this.
Jim's
I do admit when
wrong.
I'm wrong. That means when I'm not admitting that I'm wrong, there's
well, clearly,
the opposite there.
Clearly. Well, we know. You tell us this.
Thank you. The little preview that we got two nights ago when it was like,
yes.
I'll see this tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
None of the things that they did during the show were in that practice run.
That's cool.
So, you know, the different things.
Maybe
that
that's their
make
calibration, you know,
something
exercise,
like that.
I guess.
Yeah. But it was definitely not that. But
yes. And to watch them going off with, when we were watching a group of us over here, we thought, okay, so there'll be drones and then there'll be fireworks.
Yeah.
But there are very many times where it was drones and fireworks. Just
almost all the time, in fact.
Yeah. Simultaneously.
Yeah. I've honestly got some mixed opinions about that.
I thought you might. It is a subject, after all.
Yes. The the drone show was cool.
Yeah.
Very
good.
The music, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
The fireworks were cool. But the fireworks were at times more of a distraction to the drones than anything. The pyro that was tied to the aircraft that they're doing, you know, they mm-hmm. had the F-22, you know, and then
yep.
boom. Okay, yeah, I get it. Perfect. Love that. The rest of it was, like I say, a bit of a distraction, in my opinion. But, speaking of distraction, I see our Boeing 777 is back.
Yes. Looks still like there on the green dot.
It's just hanging there trying to take off.
Yes. Time is frozen for it, as it...
Yeah.
Wow.
That tells you a bit about the wind out there right now, which doesn't exist.
No, it's very still. Yeah. So.
No, I think that their use of the fireworks during the drones, mm-hmm. You could tell what they would do the big things while they were transitioning the drones. You know,
sure.
It was, and I don't want to call it a time filler, but it was kind of a more of a distraction.
Yeah.
And then when they would do a thing, the fireworks would tamper down just a little bit and mm-hmm. stuff. The little, you probably didn't see it from in here. When they were transitioning into that portion of the show, mm-hmm. they had what I'll say was a very fancy consumer-level firework thing going off. Just a little poof, poof, you know,
okay.
thing. And a couple in our group were like, so that's the fireworks? And they just started off with this little,
sure.
little thing. Like, it poof. Kept going, but it was just a very minor little
like you'd expect some redneck to be holding it and,
exactly.
and pointing it at the sky.
Yes. Yeah. Hold my beer and watch this, and yep. there it goes.
Yep. I'm imagining the type of firework now very vividly. So.
Right. So that was the first thing that they had there that was I don't know if that was a kind of to ease you into the idea of it or mm-hmm. or what it was. I don't know. But it was hilarious. Of like, oh, well, that's kind of anticlimactic. So this is the pyro show here. Yeah. Beautiful.
Just wait. Just yeah. wait, buddy. How many giant explosions were there?
Lots.
Last night? Yeah,
I lost track of it.
Yeah,
you had the okay. You're talking like the big boom
yeah,
singles,
the wall of fire ish yeah. thing.
Well, the wall of fire ish. They didn't have too many except for the one near the end.
It looked like, from here anyway, and maybe I was just seeing segments of small mm-hmm. explosions, I saw three big,
yeah,
very big explosions, like shake the building and all I could see was
orange.
When
the drones made the A-10 happen, mm-hmm. And they did the
burt, didn't they? Yeah.
Burt, boom. You know, that was yeah. kind of wall of fire-esque and stuff like that. But yeah, there's...
Sorry. You said burt. Bird boom. All I'm thinking of is, you know, Sesame Street version of Tick Tick Boom right now.
Okay, Bert.
Bert boom. Wow.
Quitting
sorry.
Paper.
This is, it is early and this is how my mind works, folks. Sorry.
Yes.
No, you, all very
you
cool.
You digressed lessons. To Sesame Street. Good job.
Yes. Yeah. I've regressed is the
Does
word you're looking
me
for.
Oscar?
Always. Always.
Nice. No, so it was new, it was different, it was absolutely impressive. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what they're going to do for the Saturday show.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things with this kind of technology. You could do an altered version of that so very easily, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe some of those things we saw as a preview before might sneak their way in. But
we had but one criticism of the drone show.
Oh, yeah?
In our group. At least I did, and I think somebody else agreed mm-hmm. with me. But did they only have three color lights?
No.
We distinctly, for a large portion of it, only saw red, white, and blue. And we're like, okay, is there... And some of it made sense, you know?
I'm pretty sure I saw yellow in there.
Okay.
I think...
Orange too is
orange
what
two
I'm getting
says,
from the booth.
Says the producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think yeah.
It might have just been the portion we saw. Again, we didn't
yeah.
full disclosure, we did not get out there for the entire show, but we watched part of it.
And this is no criticism of the of the drone show itself, but because of its nature, I wonder what it looked like from not straight on. I mean, this was happening like dead center on us.
It was pretty good because, I mean, you were down by Vintage, which is south of Show Center.
Just barely. I mean, we were pretty close to the Comp Center.
We were here, which is north, which, again, not super far, but it's still substantially north. It looked fine.
I'm
sure at extremes it looks a little weird, but...
I did notice that a lot of the things that they're forming, like the aircraft, they did actually do it in 3D. It wasn't just a 2D rendering because they would turn it.
Exactly. They'd rotate it.
When they had the C-5 do the thing, I noticed that, I can actually see the drones that are forming the far wing passing behind it.
How did the hand that threw the paper airplane look? Because to us, it looked a little odd, but...
It looked like a peace symbol.
Oh, see, and from our end, it was more like cupping your hand.
Yeah, this one looked more like somebody was giving a peace symbol with a, you know, I don't know. It was... Yeah, the concept is cool.
Yeah, the paper airplane flying away was cool. And
the Coast Guard helicopter rescuing the guy in the ocean was entertaining.
Yes.
I totally saw it coming. I'm like, oh, look. And then there's a little stick figure guy. I'm like, they're going to drop a line. So, and in fact, it was a basket, but yes.
Still pretty cool.
Yeah. No, it was 100% cool. 100% cool. So, looking forward to seeing that for the night show on Saturday. And it looks like weather's going to hold up and make that happen.
That would be good. That would be very, very good.
Right on.
All right. More chit-chat up next. It's EA Radio.
Gracing you with their presence like it's Christmas in July.
I'm fat and bearded. I'm one step away from being Santa myself.
It's the morning pre-flight with Tommy and Jim. Tommy and Jim.
Ho.
Hey, Santa.
Ho.
6 to 18, this is the morning pre-flight on EA Radio. You want to chime in this morning, 920-550-1210. Send a simple text message, comes right in here to the studio. So, or if you'd rather, you can go chat with us on YouTube, youtube.com/ EA Radio. Go to our live streams there and you can join the chatter this morning. So, lots of fun information up there, including the fact that several controllers apparently had to ask what long easies look like. Oh. Which, again, if you work at a center or something, you're not seeing a lot of long easies fly through.
Yeah, but come on, everybody in aviation, or most people in aviation, at least know what a long easy was.
We'll see. I knew you'd be the counterpoint to this. Everybody knows. Anything else exciting up there?
I'm just looking at folks chiming in and agreeing with the assessment of the drone show. Pretty darn cool. That's also,
when is the next plane coming in? That was sorry, the radio station really has no idea.
I will literally hold my breath until the next plane thing happens on this field.
Please don't. I mean, we're close to the clinic, but I don't want to have to call them. So. I love EA. That's a fun one.
Right. I also...
You know what? Here is a valid question, and I heard this the other night, and I don't know if Steve called it out, but the space station flew over during the Night Air Show last night.
It was 15 minutes after the end of the show?
It should have been...
Because they were talking about it on the PSN.
Yeah, that's cool.
If you're working the board, you should have heard it, buddy. Come on.
I wasn't working.
Okay.
Clarification. Andrea was working the board. I was hanging out here. So.
Okay, fine.
The folks from NASA were on the stand on, I want to say Monday, they already told us about it. And, it was basically passing right over the field and was visible with the naked eye even.
So. Yeah. Yeah, and we did have some clear skies there. At night, it's kind of fun to try and spot the planes as they're up there. You know, you can hear them. So I'm up there looking for something, maybe a blinking light somewhere, and I'm like, oh, there it is. Nope, star. No, it's over here. Nope, star.
Yep.
Oh,
that's cool.
One of the comments there noted that the drone show was really cool and easily seen, even from, not right up front.
Yeah.
You know, so
and again, much of the shows are like that, but that one arguably in particular when the fireworks start going and whatnot. Yeah. I thought you were going to point out the cake.
Is that no emoji? That's not cakes. That's like an alligator.
I don't know. I can't see it. It looks like a layer cake from here.
Okay.
Maybe I'm just hungry.
It is totally a pink alligator.
I thought it was a cake with eyes, you know, as you do see.
Right.
As does occur in nature.
Right, right.
Lord.
There's a cake joke that I'm going to leave on the table. Yes. Thank you.
Good. Can I have it? I'm hungry.
Good God. Yeah. It is 6:21. Looking at some things that are coming up here shortly. Again, weather permitting, which it sure looks like it'll permit, balloon static inflation, as happens at the Fun Fly Zone down by Ultralights. Haven't seen it pop up on the cams as yet. If you've not seen that happen, yes, it's pretty when they do it. I like the mechanics of how they do this with a gigantic fan to kind of inflate it until it gets to a spot where they can blow the torch into it to heat the air, and then take in and I've seen it fail, and like, they switch over to the torch, but they didn't get in there fast enough. But they got, you know, so now it's coming down. So, you know, they start the torch. Oh, nope, we're not going to catch this. So let's shove the fan back in there again.
So, very cool. Have you ever been up in a balloon?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Yes, I have. It was a tethered thing. Gotcha. Of, okay, now you can claim that you've been in a gondola that went off the ground because of the balloon. And it's like, yeah, but I could jump from here and be okay. So, and it's not going anywhere, so I'm not going to count that.
Fair.
Yeah.
My mother just recently did. They were, my parents were in, I don't know, somewhere in the Southwest. If something happened, I wouldn't have been able to find them. Somewhere down there.
Right.
And Mom went and took a balloon ride, which with some friends that were also traveling. But yeah, really loved it. Dad wanted nothing to do with that. So.
Sure.
The Air Force man is afraid of heights. So
there is a balloon stored in the hangar right next to me.
Really?
On the airport there. Partially owned by one of our staff members.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes, Chef.
Ah, that tracks.
Yeah.
That tracks.
Again, I've seen it a lot. In fact, it's, if you've been around in the Midwest, it shows up in a lot of air shows. It's the POWMIA one. So, but anyway, the static balloon inflation 7-ish down at the Fun Fly Zone. There is the non-denominational Fellowship of the Wing at Chapel in Compass Hill. How would you get to the? Because the buses don't run to the museum this early. So you're going to have to hoof it over there. It's just past the Nature Center.
Yeah.
Near the museum.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, if they get much of a showing with, you know, no transportation.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. At 8 o'clock, I mean, if we get into the 8 o'clock hour, that's where a lot of the forums and things like that start popping up. You know, it seems like the forums are starting earlier this year. Have you noticed that? Because like the official start time is 9 o'clock, and when we open, I'm using air quotes here, open. But I've noticed that there's a lot of stuff happening at 8 o'clock, like forums, you know, and you know, like here's something that's happening at the Garmin tent, and here's something happening at the NATCA booth, you know. But starting at 8 o'clock rather than starting up at 9. So I think that's a good sign.
So you pointed something out I don't think I've ever really been aware of, because our schedule doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. So official gates open is 9?
No, vendor open is
vendor
9.
Vendor open 9. When are gates open?
I don't know.
Exactly, because we're already in here.
Yeah. I don't know exactly when the official gates open.
I'm curious. I have family coming today, and
sure
knowing my father, they'll be here too early.
That it's still kind of... So they have to have the gates open 24/7 because there are people camping on the inside.
Sure.
So you can pass back and forth through the gates at all times.
Yes.
You know, because a lot of the services
are on one side of the gate, but you're camping on the opposite side.
Yes.
You know, this is how as a kid I was
for example.
You know, well, yeah, but I mean, even for the regular attendees, sure, to be able to do that, you know, but that's how I as a kid could sneak in and go running around the airplanes late at night. Was because you could, and you know, the security guard is there, showing the wristband, and off you go.
Yep.
Although back in that day, it was the ridiculous little tag on a string.
Oh, really? That was your whole.
It was like one of the dumbest things. Yeah, you got the champion year stickers.
Yeah.
Okay, that was your pass, but it was a piece of heavy paper / light thin cardboard that was printed in there with a hole punched in it on a piece of string that you were supposed to attach to yourself.
Gotcha.
That's what they were using before we went with wristbands. And they were falling off everywhere. There were people yoinking them off of people, you know.
Just for fun?
Well,
they also had up against people and ripping it.
I here I go with my back in my day stuff, too.
You're already there, bud.
You had different levels of where you get into. So you had the vendor level, and then you had the flight line level.
Okay.
You know, and you get in there. And there was a time that you had to be an EAA member to be able to get to the flight line level, too.
Interesting.
So sometimes, and there was a significant price difference depending on where you were at there. So there were people that would pay to get in to that level and then try and yoink a pass off of somebody to get in farther.
I can imagine the runway was smaller then. Like,
the runway was a little smaller, but the biggest change was you didn't have that first taxiway.
Oh, okay.
The taxiway that's on this side of the field just didn't exist at that point. And so that's why when people are like, the Brown Arch was the front gate. Well, yeah, but it went farther in.
You know? So, yes, but. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, so it was definitely different at that point. They had, like, serious fencing to separate some of that out. And it was, I don't know, it was ridiculous. There was a few years there where it was bizarre of, I have this pass for these days, but that pass for those days. And you can only get between the two areas in these few little choke points, the Brown Arch being one of them.
Sure.
You know, so it was different times.
Yeah, I would say.
And then they went to the wristbands that fixed that and made it more open. And that's this whole discussion of what is EAA. Is EAA a members only club?
Sure.
That all the cool stuff is behind this wall, or are we here supporting the idea of aviation and bringing in those that have maybe a passing interest, but still have an interest in this, or may become interested in becoming more active and involved in EAA or in aviation in general. So, you know, and that was that transitional kind of thinking at that moment.
Well, and I think that's something that's continued through the decades if you look at it. I mean, think about the first time we put a webcam up in our studio and we pointed it out the window. Yes. And there was some excitable discussion, let's call it, about whether or not we were showing too much because then people wouldn't come to the air show.
Yes.
And now fast forward to 2024, where there are, what, 9 different cameras around the grounds playing either, you know, rotations that show you what's happening and what's going on, or straight up Theater in the Woods presentations and air show cameras.
Right.
And all of that has been an evolution, including the air show camera, because first they had the waypoint cameras. Then they went, well, maybe we'll show an air show or two, but not too much. And here we are today.
Yeah. And we started the webcam thing. I'm going to die on that hill, people.
We did.
We started 100%. It was a blue dot cam out the front of our window.
For clarification, we no longer control them, so stop asking me to fix them.
That got handed off pretty quick once they realized how big it was getting. But it was a little handy cam stuck in the window out of our
Steve
studio.
Buss gave us.
Pointing at the blue dots. Mm-hmm. So you can see the people coming in and then turning to land.
Absolutely.
So that was totally our thing. To start with.
All right. More up next. This is EA Radio.
Wake up with your aviation experts, Tommy and Jim.
Oh, there's some planes flying over. I'm sure the mics are picking that up. What was that?
Big round something.
It's the morning pre-flight on EAA Radio.
Never mind me. I'm doing engineering work. You people work most of your stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Except when you say something, and then I'm going to chime in and derail the conversation. Because that's what I
mean, that's what you usually do.
Yes, that's my job.
Because you were half paying attention. Morning, Jay.
Good morning. It's Thursday.
It is Thursday. Fourth
day
of
our haven't fired me from this job yet.
Well, you know, slim pickings. So
wait, is my gone? Am I actually alive?
Oh yes.
Okay.
This is your annual review. Let's go.
Okay. What is it you say you do here?
Right.
Thank you for the
yes. Office,
I appreciate that.
Office Space reference. Folks.
Yes.
Office Space.
Took me a minute, but I'm there.
Yes.
Jumping into it this morning. Coming out of Madison, thousands of high schoolers across Wisconsin are getting into college next week, even if they didn't apply. The University of Wisconsin said it will send out the first of its direct admissions letters to incoming high school seniors next week. 10 of the UW's 13 campuses are now automatically
give us your money.
Basically, they're automatically enrolling qualified high school students in an attempt to boost their numbers.
Wow.
UW President Jay Rothman says tens of thousands of kids will get a letter next week. Every UW campus except Madison, UW La Crosse, and UW Eau Claire are participating in the direct admissions programs.
I feel like the story reads wrong. It's like, shouldn't it read thousands of students will get their bill?
Well, it's just an acceptance letter. It's not the...
No, I know. That's. But it's like, hey, you didn't apply here, but you can come here and give us your money.
Yeah.
It's a weird recruitment tool, I'll say.
Students who want to go to those schools will have to apply on their own. Wait, what? Let me reread that last line.
That doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so it's just a poorly worded, I did this bad. If you are on UW-Madison, UW-La Crosse, or UW-Eau Claire and would like to go to those places, you have to still apply to those three specific locations.
Well.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
Still odd at how far down the acceptance rung it goes now. Here's when I was right out of high school, UW-Madison was by far the most stringent state school on its requirements and GPA and whatnot to get into. Fast forward to now where it's like, please, we'll take you.
Right.
And granted, the dynamic has changed. You know, enrollments are way down and tuition's way up, so...
All right, let me put on my Dr. Jim hat.
You like that? I just keep poking the bear until he gets up there.
You did. So full disclosure, I do work in higher education. My doctorate is in actually higher education administration. And I will tell you that as an industry, what we have seen is that high schools are not appropriately preparing students for college. So there's been a growing gap between where a college should start and where high school have been ending. So that has forced a few things to happen. One is they have to start offering remedial courses. So you'll take like an Accuplacer exam or something like that to be able to test where you're actually at in certain subjects to say, can you start at the 100 level or do we have to give you a remedial course to get to there? So that's been happening an awful lot. So filling in that gap and the fact that if the standards or at least the expected standards keep moving downward, we have to move our admissions down to where we're going to catch those people and put them into the remedial courses and then continue on there. So that's why you see a lot of schools aren't even requiring an SAT or an ACT score anymore. Most of the Minnesota State University schools that I work within, you don't have to have an ACT or SAT score. If you have a specific GPA or are in the top half of your class, you're automatically eligible.
Okay. Can you offset that with the test score?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm thinking about my situation where I had mediocre grades in school because I didn't apply, but I was relatively intelligent and scored very well on my ACTs.
Yeah,
so.
same story here. When I went to school, I was barely top half of my class, but I had a 32 on the ACT. You know,
school was boring. So bored constantly.
But it very well can be. Yeah. You know, there's this or this.
Sure.
But again, you don't have to have those things. If you're top half of your class, you're in. You know, if you have this minimum GPA, you're in. But we know that we have to give you some remedial coursework to make sure that you can hit the standards that we're gonna pick up and run with. So,
yeah, I don't know.
I will step off my soapbox for a moment now.
I was one of those nerds in all the AP classes and stuff like that, because at least they were mildly more entertaining.
Well, you know, I got my associates. I was one of the first PSEO, post-secondary education options students when I was younger. So I got my associate's degree before I got my high school degree.
Nice.
And that was back in the day when that was fairly rare. That happens pretty commonly now, at least in Minnesota. So,
cool.
Coming out of Lake Halley, Wisconsin, folks in Lake Halley are soon going to have an urgent care once again. Marshfield Clinic yesterday said it's going to open a clinic in Lake Halley next month. The new clinic will go in off of County Highway 00.
Double O? I don't know. There's a couple double O's in
County Highway 00.
Is that where MI6 operates?
Yes, clearly. No, my parents live off of double O's.
It's conveniently down from the Walmart. Marshfield managers say the urgent care clinic will be there for non-emergency kinds of cares. Folks will still need to go to Eau Claire for that kind of care.
Yes.
Coming out of Madison again, Wisconsin's DNR is going to end its ban on carrying a gun near the water. The DNR agreed to repeal its 1999 rule that stopped anyone from carrying a gun near a lake, river, or stream as part of a settlement with the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. The DNR approved the gun ban after first banning fishermen from using their guns to help catch large fish like muskies or sturgeon, It's a Wisconsin Institute for Liberty and Law, acronym WILL, said the gun ban infringed on the Second Amendment. It will take some time to repeal the rule. The decision to end the ban on guns, however, does not do anything to the law that bans fishermen from using guns to catch fish.
Yeah.
But that's why they passed the law, right? To prevent them from doing that. Interesting.
Yeah, in Minnesota, we have issues of... there are spearfishing laws.
Sure.
A lot of it having to do with native treaty rights.
Makes sense.
Can I have a propellant on my spear?
Oh, nice.
Now, does that turn that into a gun, or am I still spearfishing?
I think that would be a spear gun, so...
Right.
That's a gun?
Is it?
What's the legal definition of a gun?
Yeah. So at what point does it become not a spear fishing thing versus it's a gun fishing thing? Which,
by the way, in the lawyers, everybody.
Have you ever seen sturgeon that they were talking about there?
They're huge.
They're gigantic. And they're literally the size of the table or bigger.
Can be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, great. You caught it. Now what?
Yeah.
What are you doing with the thing?
Dragging it back to shore in the water still.
So. Yeah. Most valuable part of the sturgeon is the roe. Mm-hmm. It's caviar.
True story. Coming out of Minneapolis, but relevant to the local area, a Milwaukee man who fled to Ireland to escape a January 6th prison term could be looking at more time behind bars. Paul Kovacic went to Ireland looking for political asylum after being sentenced for being inside the capital on January 6th. He was supposed to report to prison for a three-month sentence last year, but went overseas instead. He came back last month after feeling homesick. He was immediately arrested and sent to a federal prison in Minnesota. He is serving that three-month sentence and is due out in September, but federal prosecutors say he may face more prison time because he fled to Ireland.
Mm-hmm. So idiot came home because he was homesick. That's brilliant. What a moron.
Also coming out of Faribault, Minnesota, investigators in Rice County, Minnesota say a man arrested after a standoff on Interstate 35 had more than 40 pounds of meth in his vehicle.
Woohoo!
Authorities were waiting for Donald
Ray. That guy knows how to party.
Apparently. Authorities were waiting for Donald Ray Sanderson when he entered Minnesota on Sunday after a tip that he was carrying drugs in his vehicle.
Was it a silver Aztec?
Not that I know of. I don't have the video. I was trying to come up with something, but you beat me to it. The Minneapolis man evaded police for more than 20 miles before coming to a stop on I-35 near Faribault. He refused to surrender for several hours before running from officers and being caught in a nearby field. Sanderson faces multiple felony drug and weapon charges.
You don't see.
Too good.
Just cruising around with 45 pounds of meth.
Yeah, I mean, again, that guy knows how to party, because what the hell? That's a lot of. I don't know how much meth you take in a sitting, but I'm gonna guess that's a whole lot of meth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Coming up in the next segment, as promised, I will have sharks and cocaine.
Oh, that's right. Oh, good. So from meth to cocaine.
Well, not directly, but you know, it's a gateway.
Clearly it's a gateway drug. And for those of you chiming in saying I look hungover, I'm just old and tired. I wish I was hungover. So thanks, Megan. Right. Anyway, that's who that was.
Oh,
I have my ways.
Nope.
Yep.
I'm not.
Yep.
Stop my comment.
You should be quiet. Good call. All right. More news up next. This is the Morning Pre-Flight.
Hey, Jim, what do you want to do this morning?
The same thing we do every morning, Tommy. Talk and hope we're not heard.
It's here the very day. The cranky they complain. They try to entertain us, a hopeless campaign. Each day they're all nice, and then we pay the price. Our daily dose of pain.
Hey, Tommy.
Oh, yeah. Gina's chiming in.
Yeah.
Morning, Hollywood. Former news intern, multi-time, returning alum.
Fikes are, Gina. This is my turn now.
You're doing a fine job,
Jay. You're doing a job,
Jay. Hey. You want to do that, too? Yeah, right.
So this performance review is not going well.
Yeah. Sometimes we get what we get, Jim, all right?
Right.
Jay, you're doing great.
Yeah, thanks.
Good job, buddy.
Somebody who's not doing great coming from us from Ashtabula County, Ohio.
Who to what?
Ashtabula.
Ashtabula. Okay.
Authorities in Ohio report sirens set off by the emergency notification system for the Perry Nuclear Power Plant yesterday were sounded in error. Nearby residents of the plant.
That's good, I guess.
At least it was an error.
Yeah.
Nearby residents of the plant around 35 miles northeast of Cleveland heard the alarms just before 11 a.m. local time. A repair technician reportedly activated the system accidentally.
Oopsie.
I will share a version of that situation that happened here in Wisconsin. That created some large national news in my industry and in radio. There was a festival going on in, I'm trying to remember where it was. It was somewhere in northern Wisconsin. It was not like Cadott or any of that area there, but it was somewhere in northern Wisconsin.
Sure.
And the emergency alert system can be activated by local people for local emergency.
Okay.
The sheriff's office, somebody in the sheriff's office thought that they could use it for alerting people to a traffic backup that was causing some issues tied to this festival.
Okay.
First of all, shouldn't be used for that. Secondly, pushed the button that created a statewide shelter in place alert.
Oops.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. So this turned into an issue of, do we let the local people have the ability to do this? And in what case does a local person need to launch a statewide shelter in place or things like that alert? You know, and it was, I'm on what's called the IPAWS committee. These are people that make some of these recommendations to the FCC on this sort of stuff. But we had a lively debate over what should or should not be used, you know, in those cases. But that was something that happened specifically in Wisconsin.
Oops.
The more you know.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. House of Representatives is setting up a bipartisan task force to investigate the Trump assassination attempt. House Speaker Mike Johnson and Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries said this week the task force will be made up of 7 Republicans and 6 Democrats and will have subpoena authority. In a joint statement, Johnson and Jeffries said the task force will move quickly to find the facts, ensure accountability, and make certain such failures never happen again. The resolution to establish the task force was approved unanimously Wednesday by all House members. I mean, it's
yeah.
So, if there's one thing we can agree on, that was terrible and needs to be looked at.
Yeah, that was more than a whoops. Oops, missed that. No, that was a That was a fail on several levels.
Regardless of your politics, cannot be allowed to happen.
Period.
It just seems like a building that close with that vantage point probably should have been. Covered as well.
Yeah.
As they are wont to do, cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike is promising to do better after a faulty software update caused a global computer outage last Friday. The outage affected Windows systems across multiple industries, including airlines, banks, and hospitals. The company now says it plans to improve software tests moving forward, adding additional layers of scrutiny to prevent this kind of thing from happening again. CEO Greg Kurtz has been called to soon testify before Congress about the outage. If there's another thing that might be bipartisan, it might be that.
Yeah. Assuming that everybody, can actually, all the Congress can actually get to the spot that they need to be able to vote on such things. Because, yeah, there are still people that are stranded places and things like that. I had a, on the way back from Weeks Hangar, there was somebody that's coming in that was supposed to be doing a talk and had just landed in their warbird and needed to get from one spot on the field to the opposite. And I just happened to be going by in a cart, and he waves me down, of course, and I jump in, have a conversation. And yeah, he was days late getting in here to do his little talk. But like he was talking about how much the rest of his company was just like, their people are not in the right spot anymore. So you've got all of this like far-reaching problems from how this affected the airline industry in this particular case. But I tried to transfer money on earlier this week from one account to another, and
I was going to ask if it was on Zelle because we had that whole conversation.
No.
The week.
Okay. But it was it probably actually was though in the background because a lot of the banks do that in the background. It said, okay, it's been sent, but we know that there's some delays happening and we can't guarantee anything if it's going to happen on the other side. So instead of giving you the automatic, we know that you transfer this money all the time, it's available today. They're like, we're going to wait until we actually see the cash before we are going to make this available in your account. Thanks.
Many a wrench. Again, pertinent to what we're seeing here at EA Air Venture, and we saw demonstrations of this throughout the air show this week so far. NORAD says it scrambled fighter jets Wednesday to intercept two Russian Tu-95 Bear bombers and two Chinese H-6 bombers off the coast of Alaska. In a statement, NORAD said the Russian MPRC aircraft remained in international airspace and did not enter American or Canadian sovereign airspace. It went on to say the activity was not seen as a threat.
Okay. Have you ever seen a Tu-95?
No.
Okay. We're sitting here a few hundred yards maybe from a B-52 that is still currently in service. And people are like, why are you flying this aircraft that came out in the 50s? The Tu-95 is the, I'll call it Russian equivalent, but it's not. It's actually a much older technology. It's a prop plane. It's more similar to the B-29 that we have. In terms of its technology on there, I mean, it's turbine engines now, but I mean, it's a old prop plane that is their big heavy lift thing. It just makes me giggle that's still what they're leaning on, but
and the Chinese joining in on it is new, but I've during my time in the military that was a very common thing about is Russia buzzing the border up north just trying to. Poke some folks. Disneyland is getting a new superhero, and it's one of Marvel fans' favorite, and they have been asking for the Southern
Howard the Duck.
No.
Okay.
The Southern California theme park will welcome Deadpool for the first time on Friday.
Nice.
That's also the same day the Deadpool and Wolverine movie hits theaters. The character will be the latest addition to the Avengers campus. Officials say he'll only be around for a limited time, and there's no word yet on if or how he'll interact with guests.
That was the question.
Yeah, that's exactly. Is he really Deadpool if he's not cursing a lot?
Exactly.
Or,
he's just a dude
using
in red
too
pajamas.
Innuendo.
Yes.
So.
In Wildwood, I got a couple of fun ones for you here this morning. In Wildwood, New Jersey, charges including animal cruelty have been filed against a New Jersey man after he allegedly decapitated a seagull for taking French fries from his daughter.
But what the hell?
Police say the incident happened earlier this month at Maury's Pier in North Wildwood. Police say 29-year-old Franklin Ziegler was also charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. Ziegler was released from jail pending a court date.
Okay, so I'm going to ask the obvious and messed up question. How exactly did he decapitate the seagull?
Paul.
What?
Paul.
Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, ew. That's yep. Brutal. Yeah. Just pull on it. That's
surprisingly weak neck joints.
Don't want to know why you know that, but grouse.
Yep. There are reasons I know that.
I've been grouse hunting.
Yep. There it is.
What?
Grouse hunting.
Uh-huh.
That's all I know is that's a bird and you hunt for them. Yes. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Wow. Great. It's a forest seagull. Thank you. I needed that. Jeez.
So this one will be,
tell me about the cocaine.
Yep, that's where I was getting to. Coming out of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, sharks off the Brazilian coast are testing positive for cocaine.
I feel like that's the only country they could have come out of. Right. I don't know why.
Biologists tested 13 Brazilian sharp-nosed sharks in the waters near Rio de Janeiro and found concentrations 100 times higher than they previously had found.
I am now imagining... Because, again, this is where my brain goes. Boats pulling over sharks and making them do field sobriety tests. All right, could you touch your fin to your nose, sir?
I just imagine him sitting on the bottom of the ocean doing lines. I'm just saying.
No, those are only the hammerheads that go through the sand. Spit tank. Yeah, it almost was a spit tank. Thank you for that.
It's not exactly clear how the sharks are coming in contact with cocaine.
Wow.
But theories include that it could be from labs where it's manufactured or the excrement of cocaine users.
God damn.
The findings are...
You're getting secondary coke. Got it.
Poop coke.
Or...
Okay, people are going to start...
Maybe it was completely intact and not digested, they were, storing it in...
Yeah.
In the pocket back there. So,
well, I think of the 80s, and maybe it's just finally drifted down from Miami. So,
yeah, well.
There's that. Well, if it's there, it's probably in Miami, too. They just didn't probably tested them. Yeah.
That's just a normal shark day for them. That's the expectation in Miami.
That's just the Brazilian cartel of sharks.
The Brazilian cartel of sharks. Cocaine sharks. You've heard it here, folks, on EA Radio. This is the morning pre-flight. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone.
All better.
We'll do a live.
Producer nearly had a heart attack.
It's doing radio from a windowed room. Squared window room.
That's what a lot of studios are, I feel.
Well, yeah. This one's a little special.
I mean, KB's unique, but...
So is the occupant, so...
Oh, that's harsh.
Leave Jay alone.
I'm right here. Am I supposed to be over there?
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
How are you this fine Thursday morning?
Pretty good.
Day four air venture?
Day four.
What's it shaping up to look like out there?
It's warmer than yesterday.
Okay.
Sunny.
Okay.
We're on a warming trend.
Yesterday was arguably chilly for late July. So.
Yes. Yesterday was a
late, sun was warm
mid-September
here and there,
type of day, right? Wind out of the north.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm here to change that. Yeah.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
In a good way?
No.
Oh, cool.
Well, today's your transition day.
Thanks for
being
direct, at least. Okay.
Today's your day for enjoying it while you can.
Okay.
Well, it depends on your level
of
warmth. Today, high of about 75, 76.
Sounds lovely so
sunny
far.
Sunny days.
All right.
Friday, high of 85.
A little toasty, but
yep.
It's late July.
Dew point will be creeping in. Dew point mid-50s on Friday, so not too bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, high around 87. Dew points...
A little warmer.
Dew points mid-60s. Sunday, high around 89. Dew point 73.
Ew.
So...
Ew.
Why?
What about... Yeah, that's going to be gross. What about Monday... When we're all trying to leave for those of us that stay along.
Monday, dew point high around 94, 92, and dew points 70s again. So,
any rain Monday, Sunday?
There is a significant chance of rain Sunday night into Monday.
Of course.
We're yet to determine what that looks like. But for most individuals listening, they're going to be long gone. And then the stragglers are left here.
There's a fair amount of volunteers.
I'm going to say 5,000. You know? I'm going to say most listeners currently.
All right.
But at the same time, for those that are...
left to pack up.
Yes.
Yeah, great.
The caboose of this train.
It's going to definitely run us over. That's awesome.
Yes. So...
fix that.
Like I said, enjoy it while you have it. It is very light winds today, slowly coming out of the south, of course, to warm us up. The high pressure system has moved its way in. We have very clear skies this morning, and that will be continuing throughout the day.
Severe clear, as we would say.
Severe clear, yes. I would not expect rain in the near future at all. So we will be. The weather will not be a variable in our
air show.
Plural? Airplane. Words are hard.
You can do it, buddy.
Words. there's something in my brain just do. We're gonna, let's do this today. Here we go.
Yes, it's called ADHD.
Where? So. Squirrels?
Squirrel.
Yes. So, but hey. I think we looked out fairly this week. It was one day of rain isn't too bad. So
no, not at all. Not even a full day for that matter.
Question for you because you mentioned severe clear, and as I was looking out the window at the blue sky, I had a phenomena yesterday when I was watching the air show where
a revelation or a phenomena. A
phenomena, really? I'm going to call it.
Okay.
Because
phenomena. Phenomena.
I did it to myself. But like the A-10 and the fighter jets are flying around, and it felt like my eyes were telescoping specifically on the aircraft because like they never really like went out of focus, but they were definitely getting further and further away. But there wasn't anything else to like measure the distance, so it just felt like it stayed the same.
That's just a depth perception function, that if you have nothing to compare it to, nothing to contrast, like I can see this thing way over there and I see this other thing that's here, my brain will make a judgment call as how far it is from me to the first thing and me to the second thing. If there's no other thing out there, then you lose your perspective.
I was just going to say that's just called old age, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, let's take Jay out back, throw a baseball at his head, and see...
Catch!
You duck at the last second, Jay.
I'm dead. Okay? Listen, I got LASIK, and I thought maybe they just really, really installed something in there.
Bionic eye.
I would have been okay with it, but...
Zoom.
I've had things installed in both eyes, and I will tell you that isn't a thing there.
Be quiet down there. As somebody who has worked in surveillance, the word enhance makes me angry. That's not how surveillance works.
You can't just enhance the 480p camera.
You clearly just say the word enhance. oh, wait, Jay, if you haven't heard that, you will at some point in your
I can.
I'm unable to read that license plate. Please enhance it for me.
Yes.
There's got to be some adaptive like fill with AI and stuff now that can help.
I mean, now, yes. But again, that's not true. That's not really enhancement. That's generation at that point. So
that's fair.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
Not well. Weather-wise, we did have, during our Weather or Nots program, had the hurricane, it was the Hurricane Hunter, but it was from the NOAA Corps side of that,
I believe,
if I remember rightly.
Yep.
Yes. That's our show at 2 o'clock when we bring in our friends from the National Weather Service /NOAA to, talk weather things amongst themselves. So just talk amongst yourselves.
It's actually it's one of those programs where like I don't ever understand the science that they're talking about at like a high level, but you get two weather nerds, for lack of a better word, and you're just going back and forth, and it's captivating. It holds my attention anytime I get to hear it.
And I've said many times, the next best thing to a meteorologist is a pilot. because we live up there and we have to know an awful lot about it and have to understand a lot of the mechanics of it to know, you know, as I'm flying through here and I'm going to fly through this front, I need to adjust my degrees, or adjust my heading by about 5 to 8 degrees as you pass through the front because it's going to turn you, you know. And so knowing the mechanics of what's going on up there is kind of a big thing. But weather nerds, I think the majority of the people on the field right now probably have some weather nerdery in their brain. Yes.
That's
fair.
True.
Do we know what the topic for today is? Did they even give us advance warning what the topic's on?
Yes, every day.
Okay. It's almost like we schedule this.
Yeah, it's almost like we have it online in
multiple places.
We have
that you are aware of. That was difficult.
He puts them back on.
Yeah, well,
10 seconds after he takes them
because on. Because I don't like light, for one. I work in IT and have for way too long.
Right.
We've put the guy from IT crowd, the server guy, on the radio.
Well, exactly.
We already talked about this.
What, you know, I did start as a server guy, Desmond.
Desmond, yes. Desmond from IT crowd is on the radio.
Whoever designed the electrical layout in this building, which I may have had a part in,
yeah.
Real dumb, because there are no separate lights in this studio compared to the green room, so the lobby.
I like the light. I'm the opposite of the regular IT guy.
Gross.
I like the light.
He likes light mode in Teams.
Well, let's not get too crazy. Don't heathen.
All right, Jay. How many years have you been in IT, would you say, professionally?
4.
Okay.
Once you become old curmudgeon.
Yes, exactly. Like me.
Yodeler's late.
Yes, yeah. Real late.
He woke up late.
He had to watch the Night Air show. It was, right.
Oh, my
he was a little
goodness.
Tired.
You know what they have to do to the field after that night show? So the field is absolutely unusable after that because of all the FOD there. Mm-hmm. So before they can do any aircraft operation, they have to walk the whole thing.
Oh, for FOD?
Yeah. So you have to have the people, I think they space them 5 feet apart and walk the whole runway, taxiway, everywhere. Looking at, they run sweepers up and down.
Yep.
You know, after they go through and pick up all the big chunks and stuff like that. I mean, they have to do a bunch of stuff. So yeah, I'm sure that everybody's running a little behind this morning.
So, question for aimed more towards Jim on this one. Mm-hmm. You guys were talking about the wall of fire and stuff last night. I felt the ground rumble from one of them back at camp. Is there any like structural integrity damage to the runway itself?
No.
I didn't know if it was
that
a big
was probably
enough.
The air going.
Well, yeah,
that's fair.
And you know, it's minimal, and they're all directed charges. They're charges going direct. They're directed upward.
Okay, that makes more sense. All right.
I'm not giving away too many secrets here because most people don't know how they do that with. A platform, and typically that's just a board or something like that, with a bag of flammable something, typically gasoline
or
diesel,
yeah.
Or a mix thereof, I found out too. And then sitting underneath that is a quarter stick of dynamite. And that's what they use, you know, which is like 2 M80s worth.
Right, well, right.
Yeah, and the boom is the dynamite, and the flame is the fuel, because they could light the fuel off, and it would just go woof.
Well, right.
True.
So to get the boom, they put the dynamite in there, and that also propels the liquid upward there. But yeah, those are all. It's a series of small charges. So no.
Hey,
thank you for attending Jim's explosive, pyrotechnics.
You talk damage to the airfield. That's one of the issues that we have. Why we don't see the F-35C here?
Oh,
is because
fan.
The potential damage to the runway when they would try and do the demo that we would want to see from that aircraft.
Is it the Charlie or Bravo?
You know, that's a good point. I'm trying to remember which direction.
I know it is the Marine Corps version.
It's the Navy version.
Well, yeah. No, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, you asked earlier about what are we talking about on weather or not.
Yes.
The role of the National Weather Service Aviation Weather Center. Today with Joshua Sheck and, as always, our host, Mitch Sego. So.
Nice.
All right, Dick Nepinski up next. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
It's annual radio professionals Jim and Tommy with the morning pre-flight.
I had to mute my mic because I was going to swear.
Right here on EAA Radio.
You almost let one slip there that last segment.
Yeah, I did. I stopped myself, but way too late.
We don't have the tape delay dump button here,
no. So. We do not.
Is that the next thing I need to bring?
Maybe. Maybe. Don't you worry about it. Good morning, Dick. How are you?
Yeah, I was thinking, just a large stick if somebody says something. Just whack them.
Yeah, I probably am due one or two of those. Yeah. So.
But I was happy it didn't have the pain leading into me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay. We adjusted that.
So, another great morning out here. We're just talking. It's transition day today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways. The people have been here for a while. Start heading for home, and we get the weekenders coming in. Mm-hmm. Who could only get 3 days off.
Much of that, is the camp shoulder, is that full, then they had to open up more space again?
The green parking lot became the green campground yesterday.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
And, gotcha.
And yes, I mean, that's something actually, it's a great point to bring up, because one of the things we did after last year when we had the overflow, mm-hmm. and suddenly, oh my goodness, where are we going to put everybody, is plan for that. And to have overflow areas that we could easily transition and move things into.
Sure.
The porta potties, the shower buildings, the dumpsters, all the stuff you need when you're going from a parking lot to a campground.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And in addition, the far south side, we actually paved one of the roads, Aspen Road, so it isn't so mucky out there.
Sure.
That's kind of on the far south side, right along Ripple. Starting to plan for that. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things over my three decades here that's such a difference. And people say, what's changed? One, the size of the exhibit buildings.
Yeah.
Because you used to have a 40 by 40. You were a kingpin out here.
Mm-hmm.
And the size of the camping units.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we were in pop-ups and a couple fifth wheels and maybe a Winnebago or two. But now, people roll in with stuff that not only is big, but then pops out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so you have to accommodate for that. And so there are more camping spots, yes, but the camping units are bigger.
Right.
And one of the things are kind of a natural conflict. You've got people with generators that run everything except NASA with it, and then you've got people who still like to come in tents and do it the traditional way. So that's why we put the 24-hour generator area as close as we can to I-41.
Right.
Because they've got the generators, have a little more quiet. And then as you get to Paul's Woods and things like that, kind of run it. And there's still some conflicts, and that's one of those things.
You should come check out our camp at some point, Dick. We are the solar village.
Really?
We have solar.
There's a lot of solar.
Everywhere. Yeah. And it's not just in our area, but a lot of Paul's Woods. Solar everywhere with gigantic battery packs and stuff. And you notice that we have solar here now, too.
Yep.
So. Mm-hmm. So that's how we're getting around it, so we can still be quiet and have our stuff.
Yeah. That's great, and you've got four great days to do that, too,
because we're going to be generating like a sun again
this week. First of all, I want to give kudos to all the air show organizers, the guys over in the Hillard building, and everybody who put together last night's show. You're putting drones with fireworks and airplanes. What could possibly go wrong? And but nothing went wrong.
Right.
Yeah, we had that exact discussion this morning.
And
I thought it was. Thought it was very cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think Jack Pelton sent a note to the staff today. Said it was epic.
Yeah,
it was.
That's a good way to put it.
I mean, yesterday, big crowd out here. Yesterday, it was. The blues happened by.
yes.
Just to, they're on their way to Fargo.
Uh-huh.
And, so since they were in the neighborhood, which means approximately 300 miles or so, they could swing up here and do a quick pass, say, hi, everybody.
Well,
and they can say, we flew at Oshkosh.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. One of our friends of the station, we'll call him Wes Perkins, was flying yesterday in the number 3 seat. We've interviewed him 4 or 5 times.
Oh, yeah.
Including first when he was about 17.
Okay.
And posted a video of AirVenture 2009 that went more or less viral back then anyway, over 1 million views type thing. And we've talked to him ever since, kind of through his career, which has been really interesting. But he was number 3 yesterday. So I texted him kind of jokingly saying, hey, I waved. Did you see me?
Yeah.
His response was, we were really happy to be able to do that, but I'm in a terrible vantage point sitting number 3. I couldn't see a darn thing.
Oh, yeah. You're watching one.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
All. Yeah. So, all you see is the right wing, and that's it. But, happy to have them stop by. And you know, so we've had some fun surprises last night, starting off with the 29s and the Lancaster. Just to watch the 29 and the Lancaster take off.
Yes.
Was fun.
Yeah.
The differences between the two airplanes and you know, so happy the weather allowed us to do that, because you're dealing with weather, you're dealing with 80-year-old airplanes, and making sure that they're mechanically ready to roll. And, you know, the people that maintain those airplanes, you got to give them credit, because they just, they do such a tremendous job, you know, and it's, you know, finding parts is not going to Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you've got to manufacture and scrounge and find and do everything to keep those babies up in the air, and they do a great job of it. So
I see the Lancaster's taking Fifi's spot on the plaza.
Yep.
If you look at the Boeing Plaza, we have a beautiful shadow being cast right now by the Lancaster.
Yeah. That's very cool. Speaking of Boeing Plaza, Dick, and you talked about it being transition day. Any any big metal, heavy metal moving in or out of Boeing?
We're going to see Doc a little bit later on.
Okay.
They'll be coming in. Fifi will be departing. Doc's coming in for the weekend. So swapping out B-29. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
You know, as one does.
That's right, yeah. And we're going to see some of the other Air Force assets come in from the material command as they get ready to come in. Cool. And so those will be popping in. The Canadian CF-18 will be coming in. Of course, it'll be flying during the weekend, but it'll be on Boeing Plaza for the next few days as well. So
cool.
See some cool airplanes.
The B-52's departure is
Sunday, I believe.
It is Sunday. Cool. Okay, I thought it was earlier. Okay.
Yeah. So
got
to double check that. But
typically the departure happens like on one end or the other of the air show, I'm assuming.
Yep. Yeah, it will, because it takes a while to wind up those things. You know?
Yeah, sure.
I always think of those engines. I don't know if you were a kid, you had the thing with the wheel, and you just and then let it go. And,
yep.
Kind of like that. And
exactly the same.
And B-52 crew, don't get mad at me. I'm just using an analogy here.
Didn't they have to prove that they could get that thing running in 30 seconds with the
nuclear thing?
The dynamite.
Yeah.
That's in the engine to fire. Yeah.
I was thinking maybe like, started. You know, your automatic car start from afar. Just kind of hit the button. Well, I want the seats to be warm when I get in. Yes. And I had a nice chance to talk with Stevie Boos during the commemorative Air Force podcast last night. And, of course, we swapped a few old EAA stories from years gone by. And nobody believed us, but okay, fine. And but that's coming in. Miss America's on the grounds right here today through this morning. So I've got a media availability with her a little bit later on this morning.
The actual human one, because I believe human. Is it a B-25 that's...
No, it's a P-51.
It's a P-51.
The racer.
Called,
one that's of the racers, yep.
Yes.
And we tried.
Okay.
Well, we tried to get that airplane, but it's under some maintenance right now. So
That would have been a great shot.
We wanted that. Miss America standing next to Miss America. That would have been, yeah. You know, we think of these things all year long. You know, it's a long winter here in Oshkosh. We've got a lot of time to think of stuff.
Yes.
And we have many suggestions that come to us,
I'm
too.
Sure.
You know what you guys should do? You know, usually all it takes is our time, money, resources, and people.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of the things have come out. And this is actually the time when people are coming to folks like Jack Pelton and Rick Larson saying, hey, next year we can bring this.
Mm-hmm.
You go, okay, we'll put you down
on
the list.
That.
And so, you know, those discussions are already happening. What's going to be coming up in 25 and so forth. And, you know, that's always fun to have. And a lot of these things start as a 30-second discussion someplace that somebody follows up with.
Right.
And then before you know it, you've got some kind of airplane out here that you didn't expect.
I know there was, I think it was the Italian team that announced that they were going to be showing up in 24, like a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. You know, and
they were already set. Yeah, we're going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. And those guys, again, were so much fun. And
although, you know, you guys set your actual show schedule, though, not until after
the ICAST convention.
Convention,
right.
Yep. Yeah.
And we do that. Go out there and, you know, talk to people. We put some performers on a rotation because people say, we love our favorites, but you don't want to see the same thing every year. So you put some on a rotation, and we let them know, okay, you know, not this year, but would love to have you back next year.
Right.
And do it that way. So,
or different versions of the same podcast. You know, Matt Youngkin has several different things.
Yeah.
So this year he does this show. Next year he'll do that show.
Right.
You know.
And that's nice. Some of those pilots have various things, you know, that they can come out. You know, we've had the Peaches here from out in the Dakotas.
Yep.
I mean, they've been out here and done different things. I remember the Jelly Belly airplane that they landed on the truck and, you know, all of those things. So it's fun. It's different. And we have to remember, sometimes a lot of us have seen a lot of these air shows, but for somebody, it may be their first time seeing it. And what can we show them that's really cool? So something that we may have seen 15 times, they'll say, that is the neatest thing ever. Right. I want to know more about airplanes and aviation and get into this.
You mentioned Ken Peach and the Jelly Belly. That's one of my favorite things, to be around people that have never seen it, because when he pulls the release and lets the aileron fall off, and to watch people that don't know what's going on with that,
A lot of open mouth. A lot of gaping open mouths for that.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, were we supposed to have that?
Thanks for coming in again this morning, Dick. We'll see you bright and early at 7:15 tomorrow.
Yep. Okay, have a great day out there, guys.
All right, thanks so much. This is the Morning Preflight on EAA Radio.
Gracing you with their presence like it's Christmas in July.
I'm fat and bearded. I'm one step away from being Santa myself.
It's the Morning Preflight with Tommy and Santa. Jim. Tommy and Jim.
Christmas in July here at EA Radio.
Christmas in July.
Could there be anything?
In February. I mean, these things happen. I'm just saying.
Has there ever been a more commercial sentence than that, or a phrase than that? Yeah. Is Christmas in July.
Yes.
I tell you.
It's kind of like the Amazon day. It's trying to get run
Prime
at
day.
Black Friday, please.
Yeah,
or you have
please.
Prime Day, yes.
Yes. Somebody needs another phallic rocket, so...
God.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Yes. So, weather, as we mentioned earlier, severe clear. Forecast high for today around 77, according to the National Weather Service. Current conditions. Still a little chilly left over from the morning. We're reporting 62 degrees right now. Overnight low. Even as we get into some of those hot days, the lows are at least coming down for the most part. You know, we're looking at overnight low tonight around 61 and tomorrow night 63. So for those in the campground, we have the good sleeping weather, as we like to say. Let's see here. Oh, the Flying Theater. You didn't see, you weren't out there to go see the
I missed it.
Yeah, you totally missed Firebirds. So,
darn.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say I was missing it, Bob.
So another classic film.
I'm very curious, by the way, how many people actually attended.
You know, we hyped it up enough that people are like, I need to go see this train wreck.
So I may have been talking to Hal's wife yesterday about the different bits we'd been doing for Hal and showing her, or sending her links to where she could find those things. And we had a conversation about what music was being played when Hal was introducing movies, and they definitely played You're the Best around by is it Joe Esposito from
Something
Karate
like
Kid?
Yeah.
And then the next night on Tuesday, they played The Imperial March when he came out to introduce it. And I said that Wednesday, forgetting that he wasn't introducing it at first when we were having this conversation, that they should play the sad trombone from The Price is Right when he came out for that one. She thought that was genius and said she would do that until we both remembered that, Hal's not doing it because Night Air Show. So.
Right. Tonight's movie at the Flying Theater is from 1942, Captains of the Clouds. It's an action film about a group of bush pilots who enlist in the Royal Canadian Air Force to do their part in World War II. Stars James Cagney and Dennis Morgan. Very appropriate, given that we're also noting the 100th anniversary of the Royal Canadian Air Force. So,
I think, you know, this is related to movies, and, you know, I'm a big movie guy, as you generally are as well, I would argue.
Yes.
But I've not seen a lot of the movies that they show, even the old movies, and I don't, I, from time to time, enjoy really watching an old movie, and so I'd made the determination, I have a list at home, I'm going to try to watch some of these films that I don't get a chance to see when I'm here, some of these old aviation films, because I am really curious. I've seen some of the classics, like the, I don't remember the name, but the one where It's Lindbergh, and it's I can't remember anybody's name this morning. Guy from It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart playing Lindbergh, and he's, you know, in the cockpit talking to the fly and all that. Like, yeah, that one I've seen. There's a couple I've seen, but
sure.
Some of these other ones, like the one with James Cagney this evening, I have not.
I think the probably the biggest draw and coolest thing that's going to happen in the Flying Theater is going to be Friday.
What's on?
That's the new documentary in Blue Lanes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've only seen parts of it. I've never gotten through the whole thing.
I have seen it. It's very good.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. It's very good. I like documentaries as well, which helps, mm-hmm. but aviation documentaries, I'm definitely in.
Yeah.
I have both those bugs, so.
That's Friday. Saturday with The Right Stuff with Ed Harris, Sam Shepard, Dennis Quaid.
Seen that plenty.
Yeah.
Andrea has not seen it, and I think that's going to be this year watching. She thinks she's seen part of it, but she's not sure. I'm like, it's a long movie, so
it is
a lot of story there.
It's a solid film, though.
It is, well, you know? But if you look at like just what they're covering, it's a lot. It would have made for a good series.
Well, yeah, it's chronicling 15 years worth of the U.S. space program.
Exactly.
So, you know, if you try and do that in your standard hour and 40 minutes,
it's a little tight. Yes.
So yeah, you know, this is. It's a lot, but it's a lot by design. So that's what we got going on at the Flying Theater. And weather is going to be pretty good for that as well. No significant wind and or rain and or anything like that.
That helps, considering it's completely outdoor and on an inflatable screen. So
yeah, exactly. Looking at some of the other events going on, of course, we have several book signings going on at the warehouse. Mm-hmm. The NACA booth with educational things from those guys as well. A lot of the standard stuff, and I say standard stuff as if it's like we can just gloss over it, but one of the cool things here is like, hey, I'd like to figure out if I can deal with repair on this aircraft that I'm considering. How do I deal with composites,
mm-hmm.
you know, and is this a fiber composite or is this a carbon composite, and how do you treat both of those things? Here's a little word to people. Something as simple as repairing your wheel pants on a Cessna, mm-hmm. if you know how to do composite work, you can fix a lot of these things. So, you know, I caught a rock and gouged my wheel pants. Those things are fiberglass.
Sure.
You can repair them if you know how to, and there's where you're going to learn that.
There you go.
So it's not just for people that are doing that sort of stuff.
You said, I caught a rock, and all I could think of was Charlie Brown. Like, I got a rock. I caught a rock.
Well, then, there's some other incidences that happen that you can break your wheel pants on that we won't get too deep into.
Yes, let's stay out of your wheel pants. Thank you.
Yes. Anyway.
Sorry. I know I'm super helpful with those comments.
This is what I
contribute, Jim. I mean, what do you want from me?
Just putting a quarter in, waiting for me to go.
Yes.
And
we do the same routine every year, and yet you still tell me, nope, we need to do the morning show. We need to be out at 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Meanwhile, we have Chapel Roan dances happening in the booth.
Aging aircraft issues, another thing that applies to a lot of people. And this is also not just if you have an aging aircraft, but it's mm-hmm. also care and maintenance of aircraft as they age.
Sure.
So if you know, you have something that's, in aircraft terms, fairly young. You know, I have an aircraft that's less than 20 years old. What do I need to worry about? Well, mm-hmm. You know, if you live near an ocean,
sure.
and you have a aluminum aircraft, how do you know that you're not getting some corrosion in places?
Gotcha.
And if you see something, how do you identify that that is in fact corrosion? And then what do you do after the fact to keep it from being an issue? And these are things that can happen almost instantly. So,
as a related sidebar,
yeah,
you talked about, you know, a 20-plus-year-old aircraft being fairly young,
mm-hmm.
fairly new. At what point do you qualify for vintage?
Ooh.
What's the line?
You know, I don't recall.
What's the newest thing you can specifically think of down there?
Boy, I know I've seen stuff that's in the 70s and up.
So my point in this, you know, in asking this, is we could go park our butts in vintage now.
Yeah, you know, I think we could.
I think
we could be vintage. I don't know that we're antique classic, but we're definitely vintage.
Yeah.
So, yes.
That's good. Great. Oh, man. Yeah. Antique classic, you'll have to wait till the next show. The looters will be here.
The looters will be here. Nice.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I've seen some, you know, 70s, you know, Cessnas down there.
Yeah, yeah. And especially, I know that some of the twins that I've seen down there, because trying to remember when the Cessna 310 went to the Long Nose, and I think that was in the 70s, and I know I've seen some of those down there. Sure. So, speaking of walking through vintage, that's one of the traditional things that I do with my kids and people that I'm working on educating in the world of aviation.
Mm-hmm.
We start playing the Cessna, not a Cessna game down, you know, walking through there.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes I'll run into a Luscombe that'll catch them every time.
Yes, so. I've barely gotten past that point of being able to identify Cessna and not a Cessna. So.
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm pretty good at that now.
I love finding some of the rare ones out there. You know, the mm-hmm. originals, like there's a beautiful original Cessna 170,
mm-hmm.
not the A, not the B, but the original Ragwing 170.
Nice.
Not too many of those around there. People will see that and call it a 140 because it has a squared off tail and a Ragwing. No, it's a overgrown 140. It's the original 170, you know.
Very cool.
And cool little things that you're going to find there because there's just not very many of them, you mm-hmm. know. Last year, I think it was, we had the first serial number 172.
Wow.
That was parked down there.
I do not recall that.
Yeah.
Again, last year's a blur, but that's really cool.
Yes.
Something to see, anyway.
Every now and then I find...
Part of history, because, I mean, they're just such common aircraft.
Yeah, yeah. I used to... My family used to own one of the oldest 182s.
Okay.
And I was actually doing the equivalent of Facebook stalking that plane last night.
Trying to see where it went?
Yeah, trying to see where it's at. It's in Ohio now somewhere.
Gotcha. So why did you sell? Or why did the family sell? Okay, sorry.
That's a tough...
Did not want to bring up a sore point. Just curious.
I wanted that airplane. I wanted to have that airplane. I wanted mm-hmm. to fly that airplane. Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful performing airplane. It had there's certain years that have good combinations of things. Mm-hmm. People that know 180s and 182s, there's a certain engine that has problems. This one did not have that engine. It's not the R model. And I mean, it was just the right plane. And my dad's like, yeah, you know, we need to have more space in the hangar to park a freaking green truck or something. I can't remember what it was, but so he sold it for a ridiculously low price. It just to clear space. And I'm
my
like,
goodness.
Come on.
Yeah. I have similar feelings about my father selling his 1970 Chevelle that he should still own. And hopefully I would get to drive.
So. Yes. Yes.
You may be vintage, but can you buy parts at Walmart? That's our latest comment. If you want to chime in, 920-550-1210. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
It's the Hal Bryan Show with our very special host, Hal Bryan. Yay!
Welcome to the show that they think is theirs.
With what's his name and the other guy.
It's time to cue the music. Time to pot up the mics. It's time to meet Hal Bryan. He's better than Pre-Flight.
Time for a plate of bacon, kidnapped us full of fright. Move over, Jim and Tommy, it's Hal Bryan show tonight.
It's the morning.
Why do we let him in here?
I guess we'll never know.
It's like a kind of torture to watch him run a show.
Whoever said I need bacon, you're right, and I love you. I'm weeping silently. This is going to get ugly. I'm getting fuller and fuller of myself. It's called, I think you'll find out later.
It's all sensational, inspirational, celebrational, aviational. Now is time for the Hal Bryan Show.
I'd love to say it's my pleasure.
Good morning, Al.
There is no following that.
We went back to the classics well, this morning.
So. You know, it's so much. That one still blows my mind. I mean, they get bigger and crazier every time. But as you said, sometimes you've got to reach back to yes. the classics.
Absolutely.
And somewhere, you know, little 8-year-old me, the card-carrying member of the Muppet Show fan club, is proud but also fairly confused.
Right.
Lyrical mastery in that.
Oh, my gosh. Aviational.
I do. Yeah,
I just,
it's your favorite.
It makes my heart sore.
Good deal.
That could be a heart attack. You might want to go next door.
It's how I would have wanted to go. Right here on your video stream.
Yes. Document it for the world to see.
Yes, imagine what it would do for your ratings.
Yes.
So, well, as you can see, gentlemen, I found a coworker.
I see that.
I did. This is Nate Kropensky, and he does digital things with the internet. It's right there on his business card, verbatim.
Are you his boss?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
I just figured because you had no clue what he does that you must be his boss.
not even close. He reports. You report to the infamous Heidi.
Yes.
Who?
Were blaming her for something yesterday.
I think so. And then, and today we're pointing out that she's structured her morning, so she just doesn't seem to be available ever during this slot.
Should we do a remote from her desk tomorrow?
I think we really should. Now, I'm going to recommend a 10 to 15 second delay. For reasons.
Sure. We talked about that this morning. We don't yet have a dump button because I probably could use one this morning. So.
Yes.
And by the way, before we get too much farther, congratulations on landing Walmart as a sponsor.
Thank you.
I heard that just before I came on.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
It's where Jim and I are going to buy our vintage parts, apparently.
Yes.
So, Nate, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Morning. Glad to be here.
Since Hal could not explain, could you explain to us?
I thought I was perfectly clear.
Just what digital things, I'm using air quotes here, you do for EA.
So I'm technically the website specialist is the title. So a lot of the front-end stuff of the website that you see throughout the year, that's me actually touching the website and updating it. Outside of AirVenture, there's a bunch of different events that we have at the museum or helping with scholarships or everything that needs to be updated throughout the year. But during AirVenture, my little baby is the live stream cameras.
Oh, nice. All right. So, Nate, got it. I now know who to direct them to when they come to us and ask us about the live stream cameras.
Oh, there you go.
Right. Yes.
I could not tell you how many questions we specifically get. And why is that, Jim? You want to?
Well, because, as we discussed earlier, little history, we were the first to have a live stream camera on field here.
That's right.
A little handy cam stuck out of our window of our air studio when we were up on the flight line.
Yes.
That got far too popular too fast for people that didn't understand technology as well.
It may or may not
have got us in a little bit of trouble, but then they realized there was a good thing, and then it got to be such a good thing that they took it away from us and gave it to somebody else.
Yes.
A couple of times, actually.
Yes. Yes.
Was that the original Blue Dot?
That was the Blue Dot cam.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yep. And you can blame Steve Buss for that.
Yes.
He gave us the camera. I had an encoder, and the rest is history.
So. Yeah, and all of it's, 320 by 240 glory.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Yes.
But there was much concern we were giving too much away.
Yes,
exactly. You know, for that.
A postage stamp-sized image at several frames a second.
Yeah. At least. One or two. At least. Yeah. But so the webcams. So what have been your challenges with those, outside of the obvious, you know, something happens, I don't know, someone hangs an airplane from your green dot, et cetera.
That was happening a lot.
Oh, it's still there.
It's still there.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's actually perfect. Looks like it's on takeoff this morning. Yeah. They got the angle just perfect on it, so when it comes, pans around, it's like, it's landing, but it's not moving.
Here's what I'll say. I hope they don't do it with any of the rest of them, but honestly, I love that plane there. It's so funny to see when it comes up. And it really doesn't obstruct any views. So.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, it depends on where the wind is bouncing it sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's very, you know, in 1960s dollar special effects look is what it very much becomes.
And the gigantic spiders that are, attacking warbirds.
Yes, always that.
I heard they had a cow last year rather than a plane.
Yes.
So The flight ops guys are pretty entertaining with that green dot.
Right. Yeah, you can only imagine.
At least we're on brand now. Yes. No.
Yeah. Well, that actually answers some of the questions where that green dot camera was coming from. We were like, it's got to be some structure down, you know, on that area. So flight ops is...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
That's fair. That's fair. New this year... The seaplane base.
Seaplane base, yes. Yeah. That one, Heidi is really excited about that one. Mm-hmm. She brought that idea, oh man, probably 3 or 4 years ago. And we've been working with our third-party partner, Trimark, who helps us with all the productions of the different cameras, mm-hmm. To try to figure out the technology to get that up and running. And actually, like, surprisingly, it's doing very, very well this year. We've gotten a lot of comments.
I imagine.
Loving the seaplane base, and it's like it's gorgeous. When it first went up, it was looks just really good. Picturesque. Yeah. I haven't really gotten a chance to, you know, take a look at it with all the planes, mm-hmm. but it looks awesome.
And that was a challenge just because it's truly remote. There's mm-hmm. you know there's just mm-hmm. not the same infrastructure and things like that. And so yeah, I can remember when I dabbled in the cams a little bit and. Thinking, oh, that'd be great, but it was just, you know, well, we might, let's put one on the moon, too. That'll be easy. just because of the infrastructure and things. So it's so cool to see that come to fruition. It's also nice to see that Heidi keeps making these appearances, but not appearances. She's coming up on the show. I feel like she could be the fifth Beatle of this show.
Like she's infiltrating. There's your plane.
Yep.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Hanging it's departing. From the green dot camera.
Yeah.
I would like to... pick a bone with you though. Could you please add some more cameras, because I can't figure out how to fit seven cameras or six cameras and an ADS-B stream on there.
And well, yeah.
That's several hours of high math and geometry were happening to try to figure out how, and I finally just gave up.
Right. Yeah, that's our custom matrix that we have for our host to be able to see everything.
That
that's
really
going on.
Is beautifully done.
It's literally just designed to replicate some of the views we once had. We, for historical purposes, we used to be the closest building to the runway.
The tallest and farthest forward structure on the field, which made us such a target.
Which made us a problem, and the building is now no longer there, and we moved back here and lost our views, so this is what we have.
And then for a little while, you had a view of my building. Yeah, where we work.
Oh,
and then
of you?
Yes,
you were in our front yard.
Yes, and then they, or you were in my backyard. Okay, punk.
yes, we were in the backyard of your moldy, rotten building.
And then they literally picked it up and you know
and cleaned the mold out.
And cleaned it and picked it up and moved it. And the first couple of years after the move, it's hard to describe. I mean, you know, I turn into Dorothy Gale in Kansas. It's like I'm in the same place, but I go out the door and I'm not where I expect to be. That's jarring.
Yes. It is, I imagine.
The webcams, the popularity of that is just ridiculous. You can tell with all the comments of when's that coming up? When's it coming up? When's it coming up?
Yeah, I did taking a look at the numbers yesterday. Mm-hmm. So at 3 o'clock yesterday, we had like 37,000 hours viewed of the webcams.
Wow!
So far,
nice.
The featured stream, which is another new stream for us this year. Yesterday, I think, had like 40,000 views throughout the entire day.
Wow.
So, like, during the Daily Air Show plus the night show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had roughly like 3,000 concurrent viewers of the night show last night.
Wow.
Which is huge.
Yeah. Is any of this, like, archived and able to go back and see later after the fact? Is that part of the, like, on-demand kind of option?
Yeah, so if you go down to the very bottom of that live page, mm-hmm. at the very, very bottom, there's all the video on demand, and you can go back, I think, to 2017,
okay.
I think is what's in there. But yeah, you have the capability of going all the way back for however many years we've been doing it, I guess. I've only been here for three, so gotcha. I know all of the videos from that time are up there.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
You know, we were talking about some sort of tangential to this the other day, but you know, thinking back to, you know, Paul and Audrey starting the organization in the basement with 36 people and you know, then getting into a magazine, and now we have 1,000 members and stuff like this, and you know, now we've got social media that's reaching millions and millions of people and these and people going in depth with these cameras who are you know, living vicariously through them and watching them, you know, tens of thousands at a time. Mm-hmm. And it boggles the mind to think about, you know, what would Paul and those other early members have thought about our ability to reach people.
Mm-hmm.
It really does just stagger.
Very much to that point, one of our listeners chiming in said that they wish that the annual meeting yesterday from Theater in the Woods would have been on your feature live stream.
I saw that. We actually have a chat function in our Around the Grounds camera. And that comment came up as well, too. So it's definitely...
There's your next cam. Work on that.
We won't need another cam. We just, considering it takes, Theater in the Woods, we can use that camera. So
there you go.
We just need to make sure that we have it scheduled.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate you coming in. Hal, see you again tomorrow.
Oh, wait.
So you appreciate him, but...
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me present you, please, with
major award.
I was on EA Radio with Hal sticker.
Yes.
Up next is Hot Start. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EA Radio.